Thank you. Might have to adjust it down or something. Josh is very good about that. Actually, this is my first time wearing this little headset, so I'm not sure exactly how it works yet, so I guess we'll all discover that together. I want to talk a little bit about Rangers first. Royal Rangers is still alive and well at Vineyard Church in Shreveport. We are so blessed to have Doug back us in this. And, of course, he doesn't know it, but we have the district commander telling us how blessed we are to have Doug backing us with Royal Rangers. And I just want to let him know that this goes all the way up through the state level, that they appreciate what he does and what you guys do to help support us here in Royal Rangers. We are now meeting, if you notice, we don't meet Sunday morning anymore. We are meeting over at Faith Temple Assembly Church, which is in South Bossier across from the old Parkway High School, which is now the Elm Grove Middle School. That's where we're meeting. We meet Wednesday night at 7 p.m. And this was an order for some of their boys, some of our boys, to be able to have a easier time getting to Ranger. Sometimes Sunday morning was a little bit difficult for some of them. We've grown a little bit. Right now we have 3 boys who are active. We went down to 1 here in the morning, and then of course we had Jordan and he moved away. We were sad to see him leave. We've moved back up to 3 boys. 1 boy is from Fellows Church here in town, Gateway Church over in South Shreveport. He's been in Royal Rangers a lot of years, and he wanted to finish out his awards and achievements there in Royal Rangers, so he asked us about it, and we said, sure, we'll help you. You come over here, you work hard, we'll finish you up with your advancements. He's a great young man. We've had another one show up for the first time. We were really excited about that. He came from South Louisiana. He was in Royal Rangers down there. And so we are growing. We have several others who show up. And before I get too much into that, and that's just our Royal Ranger part for the boys. And remember, these are boys 5 years old or kindergarten all the way through high school. And we're planning on even starting a Sunday afternoon class for the older boys. And we've already had 2 other boys express interest in being there on Sunday afternoon because they have to go to youth Wednesday night, or not have to, but they go to youth Wednesday night, and so they're involved in that, and we're excited about that. And I want to have Becca Harper come up here. She is the Missionettes Impact. You kind of use both names.
Missionettes. We still go by Missionettes. Y'all can hear me without it, though, right?
Can't record it.
Oh, that's true.
It's on.
Oh, did it come on now? Okay, there we go. Yeah, but it's still not.
Josh. It was working.
Josh.
I don't know.
Oh,
well,
this.
You want me speaking to your face, Dad?
There you go.
Is that working?
This is Paul. Okay. Hold on, let me unmute it.
Okay. Leave it to me to cause some issues. Yay. Oh, there we go. Okay. We still call it Missionettes. It's just easier to say Missionettes. Technically, it is Impact now, but we say Missionettes. We have grown quite a bit in Missionettes over there since we've had it on Wednesday night. We have 2 girls that were already there, and they're in the STARS program, which is middle school. Which is 3rd through 5th grade. We have one of the STARS girls. Her little brother is in the Rainbows class, so I now have 4 Rainbows, which, for those of you who don't know, that's 3 and 4-year-olds. Just me, by myself, with 4, 2, and 3-year-olds. It's definitely fun. But they are doing great. I mean, they're still advancing. They're doing their memory verses. And it's a challenge, but it's definitely fun. So, and, you know, I'll put a plug in. We definitely need help. We have 3 different levels now. We have Friends, which is middle school. And then we have STARS, which is the 3rd, 4th, and 5th grade. And we have our Rainbows, which is 3 and 4-year-olds. There are actually more levels than that, but thankfully right now we only have those 3 levels because there are only 2 teachers. So it's actually been kind of a challenge for us to teach three different levels with just two teachers. So we do still need help, but it is growing. It is thriving. The girls are doing great, and the boys, because Rainbows is boys and girls. So does anybody have any questions on it? No? Okay, well, I'll turn it back over to Dad.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I also want to mention Will Harper and Manson Reynolds, who help out. And if you remember Joseph and Jeffrey, they're now adults, and they're adult leaders with our group now. They're not extremely active because still being in high school and being young adults, they have a lot of other things that they tend to take care of. Have you noticed I'm not Doug? We may look alike. Of course, he's the more handsome and smarter one. So, yeah, I do have more hair, so that's the one thing I do have over him. So I'm glad he mentioned I wasn't going to. So I want to speak, and we had some really good songs this morning, is why do we need Jesus? That's a good question, because in our society now, hold on just a minute. Yes? Oh, okay. Yes, sir. Yeah, okay. When? Okay. Soon? Okay. Well, we're kind of... okay. Sorry. All right. All right. Thank you. All right. Bye. See you soon. Excuse me, but I think we got a visitor coming pretty soon. He said he'd be here really, really soon. That was Jesus. I didn't know he knew cell phone or knew even my cell phone number, but apparently he does. So we'll look forward to having a visitor later on this morning. Let's see if we got... Okay, we can go to the next slide. I didn't make a PowerPoint, but I did use the Media Shout, so it works out great. I appreciate that. This is kind of a neat thing, being able to use some of that media. Many religious and non-religious people ask just that, why do we need Jesus? We have a modern society. We're not living in stone houses, or at least adobe houses, things like that. We're not living in huts. We're actually living, we have good homes, most of us. We have internet so we can talk, and we have communication and information. The information age. Anything you want to know, you just click on the internet, type in a question, type in a little deal, boom, there it is. It's amazing what you can find out nowadays, good and bad. But the internet is there. There's a lot of good things about it. We have good jobs. Most of us have good jobs. We make good money. Used to be there was like two levels of society, this upper class with a few people up there, and then the lower class, working class. Very little middle ground in there. But now, most of us are in the middle level, which is good, especially here in the United States. We have good food. I don't think any of us really starve. Even what we consider the poor people in the United States eat better than a lot of people in other countries. We know that. We have good food. You know, even if they can't afford it, because some of the prices keep going up, as we well know, especially as gas keeps creeping up and up and up, that, you know, there's things like Angel Food, there's other different ministries, there's different government agencies. We have games that we can play, both online with Xboxes and PCs and with other people. Football games. I know a lot of us are into football games. Some of us have never played on a regular team in our life, but we watch some of these teams, can I use the term religiously?
Yeah, definitely you can.
Yes, I definitely can on that one. I got a few, I definitely got some interest there. We love our football teams. We love our games. Basketball, I'm not so much into basketball. I do like football. Hockey, tennis, all these three. Of course, hockey, you know, used to, it's hockey in the South. Well, now we've got the mud bugs out there, and a lot of people go to those games. They enjoy them. Why do we need Jesus? We got all of this. Well, it used to be the church used to take care of the poor for the most part, and that's what the church's job was. But now we have government. Every time someone new goes in the government, what do they want to do first? We'll set up all these social programs. Why do they want to do that? Well, sometimes it's not just to take care of people. Sometimes it's to, how do you say this? You buy votes. That's how you do it. If you're supplying all these needs, you're supplying all this stuff to people on a social level, then you can actually buy votes doing that way, because people want to keep those social levels going. And in order to do that, they have to keep those people in power. We have the poor amongst us, but yet they're taken care of for the most part. Other parts of the country, one thing about the internet, it gives you a different perspective. One of the websites I mainly look at, try to on a daily basis, is BBC News. I'm thinking, well, why that? Well, gives you a different perspective on the world. If you want a different perspective on the world, go look at BBC News every day. It's not U.S.-centric, which a lot of, like CNN and some of those are. It gives you a different perspective of how other people think of the U.S., how other people think of the other parts of this world. It's a lot of interesting things I find out there, a lot of shocking things, a lot of things that are like, maybe we're not so different from some of these other countries how sometimes we think we are. Good people. I know most of you, if not all of you, are good people here. You take care of other people. Why do we need Jesus? We're good, right? We take care of things. We have charities. We have ministries. Royal Rangers is a ministry. We work within that. The Providence House, the other different ministries. I know that Vineyard supports several ministries. Well, if the ministries are taking care of the people, why do we need Jesus? Didn't he just kind of gets in the way sometimes? Families and spouses. Families. We're all close. We love each other. We take care of each other. Sometimes we don't like each other too well, but we try to do that. So why do we need Jesus? We've got families to take care of each other. I know some people are laughing about that one. Some people are choking too. Friends. Ah, friends are great. You have to love your family, right? And you deal with your family, but friends, you don't have to. Those are people that you want to deal with. You want to be with. You want to have friendship with. You want to have fellowship with. So if we have all these things, why do we need Jesus? Why do we need him around? What's he for? Yeah, I know years ago, most of us said, Jesus, we're going to accept you in our heart. And you did that. But why do we need him now? We've got all these other things to help take care of us. Well, let's look at the next slide. What can and does Jesus do for you? And this, we're going to do it on a grand scale. This is not on a personal scale. It's on a grand scale. He is the Redeemer of the church, our prophet, priest, and king. First scripture I have there is Ephesians 1, 7 through 14. And as a Christmas present, I ended up getting, I needed my new study Bible. My NIV was starting to fall apart. So I started looking, I talked to him, and I found this HCSB, which stands for, let's see if I can get the actual name, Holman Christian Standard Bible. It's a good study Bible. It's not quite as comprehensive as the NIV study Bible in some areas. In some areas, it gives a little bit more. So I thought, well, you know, I need two different versions to try to work through. But I really like it, and what I've gone through it so far, I do recommend it. NIV Concordance is actually a lot better. So I bring out both of them, and I look through both of them and try to figure things out. because the concordance is not so great on this one. However, some of the other ideas, it is a modern translation, so it's not too hard to understand with all of these and thous that some of us grew up with. Ephesians 1, 7 through 14. We have redemption in Him through His blood for the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace that He lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. He made known to us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure that He planned in Him for the administration of the days of fulfillment, to bring everything together in the Messiah, both things in heaven and things on earth in Him. We have also received an inheritance in Him, predestined according to the purpose of the One who works out everything in agreement with the decision of His will, so that we who have had already put our hope in the Messiah might bring praise to His glory. When you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and when you believed in Him, you were sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit. He is the down payment of our inheritance for our redemption of the possession to the praise of His glory. So He saved us. He is our Savior. He's our Redeemer. We can thank Him for that. So we needed Him at that point to save us and redeem us. Luke 7, 16. Let's see. I marked all of these with big old tabs so I could find them fairly easily. So if I get there before you do, don't worry about it. It's not that I'm better at memorizing all these books. I just have big tabs. Let's see here. And then I lose my place too. Okay. Then fear came over everyone, and they glorified God, saying, "A great prophet has risen among us, and God has visited His people." And this report about Him went through Judea and all the vicinity. So He was a prophet too. He was one of the great prophets. In fact, some religions of the world, you ask them about Jesus, they say, "Oh, well, He was one of the Hebrew prophets, one of the latter-day prophets." But that's all they think about Him. Hebrews 2, 17 through 18. "Therefore, He had to be like His brothers in every way, so that He could become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service to God, to make propitiation," I said that word, "for the sins of the people. For since He Himself was tested and has suffered, He is able to help those who are tested." So He's there as a high priest. And we go to Hebrews 4, 14 through 16. "Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to the confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tested in every way as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us approach the throne of grace with boldness, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us at the proper time." If you don't remember any, remember that one. We can go to Jesus. We can go directly to God because what Jesus did for us. We have to remember that. Revelation 17, 14. 17, 14. Sounds like a date. "These will make war against the Lamb, but the Lamb will conquer them because He is Lord of lords and King of kings. Those with Him are called chosen and faithful." Does anyone know who He was talking about? Or this passage was talking about those with God at this time? Was it His legions and legions of angels? It was us. It was us. And if he's called Lord of Lords and King of Kings, then that means each and every one of you is a Lord and a King in the kingdom of God. Take that seriously, guys. There's a lot of responsibility that goes with that. We are all lords. We are all kings. And we'll be given... There's different things about that. But actually, I believe that we'll be given dominion over certain areas of this universe that God will say, you know, I created you. You are now fullness in me. And this is the time that we're in heaven, and we'll be given dominion over certain areas. So we are lords and kings by Jesus' grace. Then he shares our sorrows and burdens. We go back to Hebrews 2:18. And we say this, For since he himself was tested and has suffered, he is able to help those who are tested. He doesn't stand up there going, I don't know what you guys are going through, but hey, if you want to talk to me about it, just go ahead. No, he knows. He was here. He went through it. And he has such a relationship with us that every time we go through something, he goes through it again. He wants to change the outcome so that we're overcomers when we go through that. Secures our redemption. Galatians 4, 4 through 5. You didn't know you'd have to thumb through the Bible over and over and over. When the time came to completion, God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law so that we might receive adoption as sons, and we can add as daughters. So we're adopted. Jesus has done all this for us. Titus 3, 4 through 7, that was actually a misprint. I realized that when I was going back through it. I was like, missed that one a little bit. So it's Titus chapter 3, 4 through 7. But when the goodness of God and His love for mankind appeared, He saved us not by works of righteousness that we had done, but according to His mercy, through the washing of regeneration and renewal by the Holy Spirit. He poured out this Spirit on us abundantly. He poured out His Spirit on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. All of us have the Holy Spirit in us. We may not have the total baptism of the Holy Spirit, as we call it sometimes, but all of us have the Holy Spirit with us. So that having been justified by His grace, we may become heirs with the hope of eternal life. And if we don't have eternal life, then, you know, there's not much use in this world. We try to do good, we try to do what we can, but then we're gone. But that's not what the Bibles tell us, not what Jesus tells us. Raised for our justification, Galatians 3, 24 through 26. The law then was our guardian until Christ, so that we could be justified by faith. But since that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian, which is the law. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. So there's a lot of things Jesus has done for us. And before we go any further, I noticed it's starting to get a little bit warm in here. Is it possible to open a couple of the doors to see if we can get just a little bit of cool breeze? I don't want everybody to get too sleepy on me up here. I appreciate it. Yeah, you know, we love this college for accepting us. And we know they've done a lot for us in many, many ways. And we appreciate that. At least we're not in here in 50 degrees freezing, because that would have been... I don't know which is worse, the heat or the coolness. Of course, we leave in Louisiana, so we get the heat part of the time, and then it gets cold on us, so we kind of go back and forth. All right, next slide. Now we're going to jump to a different part of it. Why do we need Jesus today? We talked about on a grand scale for everybody. Now we're going to talk about on a personal scale. On a personal scale. Excuse me a minute. Jesus allows us access to God. 1 Timothy 2:5-6. For there is one God and one mediator between God and humanity. I don't care what all the religions say. There's only one. And I was reading today, they were talking about the National Religious Day or something to that effect. They were talking about Christianity versus those who are atheists versus those who are in other religions. And they say one of the things that separates Christianity from us is we require this mediator. And not all of them want to accept that. They want to either go directly to their God or God, or they want to really not even have a mediator. But our mediator is Jesus Christ. He is the only one that allows us access to God. I don't care what all these others say. They're not right. They're not saying the right thing, even though that's not politically correct sometimes nowadays to say that. But if you do not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, I'm sorry, you're not going to get to see God but one time, and that's not going to be a fun time when you see Him. Yeah. Didn't think I knew about that one, did you? 1 Timothy 2:5-6. Jesus Christ Himself, human, who gave Himself a ransom for all, a testimony at the proper time. He didn't say a ransom for just some or just the people in this room, a ransom for all. So I don't care who you are, if you're a Buddhist monk sitting in a Buddhist temple in Tibet, and you have a revelation of Jesus Christ, and you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, guess what? You're not going to go see Buddha. You're going to go see God. You're going to be part of heaven. So it doesn't matter. And we're not supposed to go out and preach the gospel because they say, well, that's kind of like, I think the term that I read this morning was catch-22. That means things, you can do it one way or the other way, but it really doesn't matter. It's kind of all mixed up in itself. But yes, we need to go out. We need to reach others for Jesus Christ. Hebrews 2:14-18. Well, wait a minute. We already read that. Well, we're going to read it again. Or at least go over it again. Hebrews 2:14-18. Now, since the children have flesh and blood in common, Jesus also shared in these. In other words, he was human. So that through his death he might destroy the one holding the power of death, that is the devil. Now, people ask, well, who holds the power of death? I mean, devil. It tells it right here. I mean, people ask that question, who is death or who holds the power of death? I mean, it just clearly says that right here. Now, is it talking about a physical death? Spiritual death. Spiritual death. And free those who were held in slavery all their lives by the fear of death. For it is clear that he does not reach out to help angels, but to help Abraham's offspring. Are we Abraham's offspring? Are we direct descendants of Abraham? Some people are, some people aren't. But we are brought in to what was given, the promises given to Abraham. Therefore, he had to be like his brothers in every way so that he could become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God to make propitiation for the sins of the people. There we come back to that. If he wasn't made human, how would he know what it was really like to be human? So we are very, very blessed that he was actually made human, lived on this world. I know that wasn't the most comfortable thing for him to do, especially coming out of heaven to be made human. That must have been just that decision alone. I don't know if I'd have been sitting up in heaven with all the power and glory and to come down here and go through what we have to go through every day, and especially 2,000 years ago. I'd be like, I don't know if I want to do that. But sometimes you think about that, you realize how great a sacrifice that really was for him to do that. And we go to John 1:14. The Word became flesh and took up residence among us. We observed His glory. The glory as the one and only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. So we know now He became human to allow us access to God. Now what does He do? He mentors us. What is a mentor? He knows. Because that's our new Royal Ranger. It's not really a motto. It's a, what do we call it? Our catchphrase. Mentoring future men. We have it on our little magnet stickers. We have it on little posters. Mentoring future men. Why do you want to do that? Because if we don't mentor them, somebody else will. And it may not be in the way we want to mentor. Because these are the people who are going to take over this world when we grow up in age, retire, and move on. It's going to be theirs to run. And if we don't train them in the correct way that God allows us to, of course, you already see a lot of that's already happened in our world, and it's not in the best of shape right now. So we want to do that. Each and every one of you should pick somebody to mentor. And it doesn't have to be an 8-year-old to mentor, or a 5-year-old, or a 14-year-old. I had a mentor. I still have several. But one of my best mentors was just a few years older than me. He was a great godly man, and I learned so much from him about being a good man and a good Christian. So you can take somebody under your wing. And actually, you can even mentor somebody older than you if that's the way the relationship works. So look around. I want to challenge each and every one of you. Go around and find somebody to mentor. Colossians 2, 9 through 11. Actually, it's 9 through 10. For the entire fullness of God's nature dwells bodily in Christ, and you have been fulfilled by Him who is the head over every ruler and authority. The entire fullness of God's nature dwells bodily in Christ. We can't even figure out how that works. That's just way over our head. At least it's over my head. How could God's nature dwell bodily, which means in a human body, in Christ? That's, wow. That's one you'd have to sit there and meditate on for hours and hours and hours and pray that God gives you a revelation on that one. I really can't even go any further on that one because that one, I know what it says, but what it means, I really can't figure out. Hebrews 1, 3 through 4. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact expression of His nature, sustaining all things by His powerful word. After making purification for sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, so He became higher in rank than the angels, just as the name He inherited is superior to theirs. Again, it talks about the nature of Christ, how He's fully human and fully God. And yet we, as individuals, can have a relationship with this being. He intercedes for us, for you, for us, with God. John 17, 20 through 26. I know this one's a little long, but I love this one. Because Jesus prays for all believers. This one just speaks to me and it shows me the heart of Jesus. I pray not only for these, but also for those who believe in me through their message. Wait a minute, that's us. So He's praying directly 2,000 years ago for us in the flesh. May they all be one as You, Father, in me, and I am in You. That's a tongue twister. But Father are in me, and I am in You. They were one. May they also be one in us. In other words, not just the two of them, but He wants to gather us all together to be one with God. So the world may believe You sent me. I have given them the glory You have given me. Whoa. That's a promise. May they be as We are one. I am in them and You are in me. May they be made completely one, so the world may know You have sent me and have loved them as You love me. It's not for our edification that He says this. Did He say it's for us to know that God loves us? We all know that God loves us. But for the world to know that God loves us. Father, I desire those You have given me to be with me where I am. Then they will see my glory, which You have given me, because You love me, before the world's foundations. That's a long time ago. Of course, we know it's like a long time ago. Righteous Father, the world has not known You. However, I have known You, and these have known that You sent me. I made Your name known to them and will make it known, so the love You have loved me with may be in them, and I may be in them. That says it all. As believers, He wanted us to all be one, on one accord, one of mine, and as a witness to the world, so the world would want to join us. Okay, those of you as parents, which there are a lot of us in there, you talk to your child, you just do this again, I'm going to spank you. Of course, you can't really say that nowadays. We used to say it when I was a parent. Or if you make this bad grade, I'm going to give you so many licks or make you go to your room for this many days or months. Or if you make an A, I'll pay you $5 for that A. Now, which way would you rather have it? So it's kind of like the way we need to treat the world. The world's skittish of us already. So we don't need to beat them over the head. Because all they're going to do is say, yeah, we were right. We need to not really bribe them, so to speak, but yet show them the love that God has shown us and through us to reach these people. Because if we don't, they're going to be lost. And they could be the absolute, become your very, very best friend that you have ever had in this world just by accepting Christ and becoming part of the fellowship. So let's not forsake that. Try not to beat them over the head. Sometimes you want to. Sometimes you feel like you need to. But let's try not to. Bring them through love. the last verse, yay! Romans 8, 31 through 39. What then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? Everybody. Exactly right. Everybody is against us. If He did not even spare His own Son, but offered Him up for all of us, how will He not also with Him grant us everything? And that doesn't mean we're going to get a new BMW.
Oh, sure.
But He will grant us eternal life. And we don't even know it's waiting for us when we get to heaven. And after tribulation is over and we become rulers, this universe is ours. Do you guys realize that? You know, you look at the Hubble photographs, you look at the stuff about all these nebula and galaxies and all this, all that's going to be ours. I can't even comprehend that. I mean, as big as they say just our Milky Way galaxy is, and there's billions and billions of galaxies, all that's going to be ours. Wow. Who can bring an accusation against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who's the one who condemns? Jesus Christ is the one who died, but even more, He has been raised. He also is at the right hand of God and intercedes for us. Who can separate us from the love of Christ? I know you've heard that one lots of times, but let's take that one to heart. Let's write that one in our hearts. Can afflictions or anguish or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword, because it is written, because of you we are being put to death all day long. We are counted as sheep to be slaughtered. That's not such a nice one there. But in other countries, that's happening right now. Even in the United States, think, well, that's not happening, but yet people are being persecuted just for being Christians. Some of them are actually being killed in the U.S. We don't hear a lot about that, but yet that is even occurring here. Knowing all these things, we're more than victorious through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that not even death or life, sometimes life gets in the way, angels or rulers, things present or things to come, hostile powers, height or depth or any other created thing, will have the power to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Wow. Years ago in other religions, and even in the, well, mainly in the Christian religion of years ago, you didn't have direct access to Jesus or God. You could pray to Him, but that was as far as you went. There was somebody standing in between you and them. Been watching the Tudors. They had it on BBC America, so it was the cut version, just so you know. It was interesting to see what happened during that time frame. You had three main groups. You had the Catholic Church here. You had the new English Anglican Separatist Church here. And then you had the Protestants, and that became Protestant word. Those are the ones who protested against what the Catholics were doing. That's how we got the term Protestant. And that group, and these two groups would actually, they would fight each other, but then they would get together because they knew the one that really disturbed their power balance was this Protestant group over here. The Lutherans, the ones who followed the edicts of Luther. Because what they said is they didn't need the priests to go directly to God. They didn't like that. Ooh, caused a lot of issues. But because of that, we are now part of the outgrowth of the Protestant movement that came out of that. So we directly have access to Jesus Christ ourselves. We don't have to go through somebody else. We can pray with somebody else and we can have people help us, but yet we have direct access. So I come back to the original question. Why do you need Jesus? Why do we need Jesus? So we can have direct access to God through Jesus to give us the ability to triumph in this life. It doesn't mean we won't have issues or problems and we won't fail, because we do all the time. But yet it gives us the ability to go beyond all this, to find out where we're going, because Christ Himself stands before us and leads us in a way. Why do we need Christ? Because there is none other on this earth who can actually lead us in the direction we really need to go in as a church and as individuals and as a nation. We need Christ. I love the song this morning. Doug always listens to God, and I know he does, because when he picks things out, it is just so right on target. I love that man. He just has a heart for listening to God. Amazing love. We all sang it earlier. I mean, just listen to the words. Amazing love that God has given us through Jesus Christ. So I want to encourage each and every one of you to put aside some of the things you've had in the past few years since you made your initial commitment to Jesus Christ. Start looking back to Christ Himself. Some of those other things are not bad. God told me that years ago. Somebody told you, you got to get rid of all that stuff. And then God said, why? As long as you follow me, that's fine. It's not a problem. But you need to follow me first. So each and every one of you, try to commit yourselves to having a more personal relationship with Jesus. He's here now. He said He'd be here. Even the word from Cindy, which God spoke through Cindy this morning. God's here now. Jesus is here now.
That's right.
He's here. And He's waiting for each and every one of you to open yourselves up to have the relationship again, if you've lost it in the past, with Him. And if you haven't had a relationship in your life before, accept Him. Because there is no way to go through this life and be victorious without going through Jesus. Pastor?
Amen. I appreciate that word. And that's what I would encourage you to do is to take that, take the notes and the outline, and to use it as a reference, use it as a study and to go over. Because, you know, many of us have walked with the Lord for not just days, weeks, months, or years, but decades, you know, half centuries or whatever. And it's good to be reminded. It's good to refocus and to have a fresh vision of who Jesus is and what He has done, of what He is doing. And this was just a great, thoroughly biblical presentation for us. As we close today, if you've never asked Jesus into your heart, if you've never asked Him to be your Lord and Savior, I would encourage you at the end of the service to come talk to me or to talk to Rodney, because there's nothing better and nothing more exciting for your life and for the life of the body of Christ than to give your heart to the Lord. That's what it's all about. And sometimes we forget those of us that took that initial step and then the years, and we kind of take it for granted and we don't realize that it's all about Jesus. And He's just as fresh and just as alive and just as vibrant as the day we gave our hearts and our lives to Him, the day we may have been filled with the Holy Spirit or any activity along the way. So if you need the Lord today in your life, or you want prayer for anything, don't hesitate to come, and we'll have someone pray with you and share with you today. Lord Jesus, we're just so thankful for Your coming. Lord, I cannot imagine myself that, Lord, that You laid aside Your glory, that You laid aside everything, and that You came, that You humbled Yourself and were born, Lord, in a manger, and that You lived Your life in obscurity until the day that You were brought forth. And that, Lord Jesus, that in addition to all of that, that You came as a suffering servant. And You came to share and to demonstrate the love and the presence and the power of Your Father. And You came to give Your life that we might have life in you. Jesus, today as we go forth, would you just renew our life in you? Would you renew our vision of you and just be reaffirmed of your presence in our hearts and lives? Lord, would you bless Rodney? We thank you for his delivering this word. We know it's a hard thing to do, and I just pray you bless him and reward him and protect him from any attack of the enemy. Just bless he and his family. And we just pray for all Rangers and for Impact and for all those that work with that. God, we're so excited, and we just pray that you enlarge and bless and multiply that with workers as well. In Jesus' name, amen.